The mission of the church is missions. That might sound a little redundant, but it's not redundant. It's just true. The mission of the church is missions. That's why Jesus came to save the world, and that's why the church is still should still be here, because to let the world know that Jesus saves. Now, I have a question. I'm going to ask several questions today, and these questions are just, if you're taking notes, hopefully you'll write them down so that you can ponder about them later on. But questions to create a time of reflection, to really be honest with yourself. Listen, if you can't be honest with yourself, who can you be honest to? Or who can you be honest with? So just be honest with yourself. So my first question is for you to ask yourself, do I give or do I support missions? Do I give or do I support missions? And some may be thinking, well, what's the difference? Well, there is a difference. And we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. There is a difference between giving to missions and supporting missions. And today, hopefully, you'll receive some revelation of what God is saying. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness... That might be the New Living Translation. What God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in their rich generosity. For I can testify, says Paul, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. Man, underline that if you want. I'm not sure if you're there, but it's always good to have goals. You know, it's just always good to have goals. And in your walk with Christ, man, God, I want to be able to testify that I gave, not just so I can go ahead and I'm not going to tell everybody, but so I can say, God, thank you that I have been able to give not only what I could afford, but far more. And Paul says, and they did it of their own free will. Verse 4. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. That is first. Your first action, our first action, their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Father, we thank you for your word. Let it speak to us. Let it reveal, Father God, Lord, what we need to see, Father, what we need to learn, what we need to understand and apply. In Jesus' name, amen. What an encouraging testimony for Paul to be speaking about the Macedonian church, the believers in Macedonia. I mean, to see the need as important, so important as to support the need. You see, to them, it was their desire to have a kingdom mindset. Not about me, myself, and mine, okay? But to have a kingdom mindset, to worry, to have concern, not just to have concern in their heart, in their mind, in their hearts, to say, oh, poor believers in Jerusalem, bless their heart. But to really go farther than that and not just have that thought, but even to act upon that kindness. So verse 2, again, it says, they are being tested by many troubles, yet still gave. In the previous chapter, chapter 7, verse 5, so 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, Paul says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us, for we faced conflict from every direction with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. Listen, Paul, what he was saying in chapter 8, he experienced it in chapter 7. The Macedonian church was receiving a lot of confrontation, a lot of conflict. And Paul was actually experiencing that. That's why he said it in verse 5. So when he said they were tested by troubles, Paul was able to say, because I was there and we experienced it as well. Yet they still gave. You know, not every believer does this. Does what, Pastor? Does what the Macedonian church is doing. They gave out of their lack. Now, sometimes it's easy to give out of excess. It's easy to give out of leftovers. But when you give out of leftovers, who's really first? Is it God? Is God really first when we give him leftovers? Yet they gave. They gave and they supported. This is why giving and supporting is different. It's great and it's good, but they're different.
They gave of their finances. They gave of their of what they had, even though they lacked, but they supported the kingdom of God. Today we're going to look at how giving to a cause, supporting to a cause, are different. Hopefully they are important to you. You see, because there is a difference in giving to God and sacrificing to God. The purpose of our giving and our supporting ought to be important, because it ought to be for the kingdom. It ought to be for God, not just for myself, not so that I can receive a pat on my back. The question for all of us today is my giving, am I giving to missions? Am I supporting the missions? And if I am, is it first? Is it honorable to God? See, we have a story in the Old Testament about Cain and Abel, a good story to look at and to reflect, a good example. See, because one gave in the process of time is what the Bible says. One gave in the process of time, one gave first and with honor. Which one do you think God honored and God accepted? God accepted the one that was given first and as a sacrifice, and that was the one that God gave, and that was the one that God accepted because it was given in honor. It was given first. See where it says in the process of time, we only come to the conclusion that it wasn't first. Might have been next week, might have been when he felt like it, might have been on a full moon, and he gave to God. But what Abel gave, he gave first, and God accepted that. Let's go to slide two. My first point is our giving. I came across this. Let our lives be full of both thanks and giving. Our giving should be a result from our thanksgiving toward God. When we give, it ought to be because we are thankful for what God has done for us, for all that he has done for us. Anybody come to the conclusion God has done so much for you? If you come to that conclusion, it ought to flow. Because of that thanksgiving to God, it ought to flow that I am free to give. You see, one of the things that God wants from a giver is to be a cheerful giver, a loving, cheerful giver, so that when God speaks to you wherever you're at and he places that desire to give, you're not going to fight. You're not going to hold on to it. When God is wanting you to bless someone, you're not holding, oh, but I really want. No, we need to come to the point where we are ready when God says give. Oh, to that person? Are you sure? Okay, Lord, I'm ready to give it, but Lord, is that the person you really want me to? Okay, Lord, I'll do it. And you give. Sometimes we do this. What? I don't know. I don't think I heard you right. Well, you know what I went through to get this. Well, I don't know. That person there? Well, I don't know. They look at their watch. They don't really need this. They got a nice watch. I don't have a nice watch. And we contemplate, we have this discussion. No longer is it, Lord, I'm willing to, if that's what you really want me to do, okay, Lord, then I'll do it. It turns to, I really don't want to, because I really don't want to give it up. I really don't want to give it. But God wants, let our lives be full of both thanks and giving. So it's important that we get to this place where our heart, we are a cheerful giver, and God, you have my heart. I'm willing to give if that's what you want me to do. For all that he has done for us. Now, when we give, this is a byproduct of God's character. If you don't believe me, look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. It didn't say for God so loved the world that he lent. You know, for God so loved the world that he, you know, provided us alone. You know, I mean, no, he gave. No strings attached. He knew how greedy we would be. He knew how much, how firm and tight we would hold on to that. He knew that, but yet he still gave, didn't he? He gave Jesus, and he didn't wait for you to get your act right, or for you to get your life right and get your act together and be a faithful church member. Then he gave. No, he already gave. So when we give, this is a byproduct of our God, his character. That which can be found should be found in our hearts. Here's a good question. Lord, is your love really, is it in my heart? Has my heart been filled with your love for every believer? Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So if you have a problem in giving when God says give, there is a great indication that there's something wrong with what's inside your heart. Ask God, God, forgive me. God, I don't want to be stingy. God, help me to be a conduit. Lord, help me to just be a river that as you bless me, Lord, I'm ready to bless others. Let that be your prayer. But this is something that ought to be found in our hearts, because our hearts have been filled with his love. Someone who was following the example of Christ, Jesus, was obedient to the Father, that he gave his life for you and for me. But giving, this can be seen in a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians. If you ever listen to reports of, different charitable organizations, there's a lot of non-Christians giving to charitable organizations. See, there's a lot of people that give. I mean, it's an eye-opener for some people, maybe, to see that people that are on the street, homeless, would actually give, their last, loose change to somebody because they need it. Our giving must be different. I mean, that ought to convict you if it hasn't. Maybe you were out to lunch for the last 2-3 minutes, but that ought to convict you. It convicted me. You see, our giving must be different. And you're thinking, well, why should it be different? Our giving must be different because it ought to be creator-centered. For God so loved the world that God gave, and he didn't even hold anything against you. Well, I'm going to give everybody, but not to you, because, well, I know what you're going to do tomorrow and next month, and I really don't want to give to you. He gave to all. Our giving must be different. It ought to be creator-centered, our God creator-centered, because this originates from divine love. If you ever want to look at someone who is the greatest and the best example of giving, you look to God. There's nobody else better. Our giving must be different because it has eternal significance. Eternal significance. The fact that we ought to be able, willing to say, God, I want to tell people that Jesus saves. And if it's in the process of me giving them $5, if it's in the process of me taking off my jacket and giving it to them, or going home and getting some blankets and giving to them because I see them underneath the interstate at 95, God, I want to be able to tell them that Jesus saves. So remember I asked, when we give, there's also support. What about when we support others? Slide 3. Our support, it ought to reflect. Now, I couldn't buy them. This is the best way I could do it. But anyway, our support ought to reflect our sacrifice to God. Because it's his anyways, right? All that we have, it's his anyways. So when we support, and the reason why I'm stating that giving and support is different. Giving is when I see someone on the side of the road and they have this sign, I'm hungry or need food. I give them a pack of crackers. I give them Gatorade. I give them water. I mean, when we look at the Good Samaritan, he didn't just go up to that person that was, mugged and on the side of the road. He didn't just go in his pocket, take out $5 and crumble it in the guy's hand and say, hey, you all right? Okay, man, here's $5. See you later. That's giving. But what did he do? He took time. He was more of just giving in the $5 and leaving. He began to support him because he actually picked him up, took care of him, took him to an inn, Holiday Inn maybe, took him somewhere, and then said, here, whatever you need to fix him up. And then he said, I'll be back to pay whatever I need to pay for whatever you did for him, whatever you fed him. That's support. When we think about missions, giving to missions, we talk about it. You thought, oh yeah, here's $5-$10 to missions. That's giving. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good because you're having a good heart. But then when you think about supporting missions, man, that's praying for our missionaries. Taking home our church prayer list and actually having somewhere in your house on that refrigerator, every time you go in that refrigerator, say, there's nothing to eat. There's something to eat. But every time you go to the refrigerator, you'll see missionaries and you could pray for them. That's support. Financial supporting our missionaries, where every month you say, God, thank you, but I'm going to financially support missionaries. And then you can say, God, I want to support our missionaries practically. There are 2 tables out in the foyer. Little small thank you cards. You don't have to write a whole paragraph, just a couple of encouraging words. That is something practical. Another practical way that you can support missionaries, walk in our hallway, pick up one of their newsletters, and read about what's going on. You're not going to know how to pray specific prayers for our missionaries if you're not sure what they're praying and asking. Then on the back, on the bottom of every, almost every newsletter, they have their email address. Send them an email. Find them on Facebook. Those are practical ways that we can support our missionaries. So you see, giving is different than supporting. They're both good. But our question is God, am I just giving to missions? God, am I even giving to missions? God, am I supporting missions? I have another video to share with you, and because with missions, the focus ought to be on God, on what His desire is. With the focus on missions, what does mission support look like? It will require self-sacrifice. You will sacrifice self. It will require a stretching of your faith. Now, those two things are things that a lot of people, Christians, don't really like. I got to sacrifice self. I got to sacrifice some things to give what is on God's heart, that the gospel would be sent all around the world. I need to stretch my faith. I'm looking at my bills, but then I know that God is wanting me to give to missions. It will stretch your faith, and it is good. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, talking about the Macedonia church. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. We're all going to experience difficult times, physical, emotional, financial. And this will affect our acts of kindness and love being demonstrated to others. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way if we can learn that both in the bad and in the good, we can have the heart of God to show His love, to show His kindness to others. With God, God brings balance and focus on what is more important in life. Here on earth, we may think and see things that they are more important, but when God says, no, this is more important, son. No, daughter, this is more important. Let me show you. We begin to see that things on earth really aren't that important when compared to eternity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit have proven by example the joy of giving, the love of sacrifice, the peace of blessing others. You know, without God, we are not able to experience what the Macedonian church experienced. We are not able to experience a life filled with abundant joy. We are not able to have that joy and be able to demonstrate it as an overflow of rich generosity in us. Every 6 months, slide four, Joe, every 6 months, we remind the church about missions. Listen, this is not my church. This is our church. It's not my ministry. This is our ministry here at Hidden Treasures. And we want to remind all of us about missions. Support missions in prayer. Support missions financially. Support missions practically. Giving to missions is good. But man, let's go a step further and find ourselves supporting what is at the heart of God, that those who are lost would come to know Jesus. These missionaries that we support, they've answered God's call to go. We must answer the call to support. Listen, I pray for Hidden Treasures. I pray that every member of Hidden Treasures Assembly of God would be faithful. It's in our prayer list, but would be faithful to tithe, love offerings, and missions. It is my prayer that 100% of the members in Hidden Treasures Assembly of God would be faithful to tithe, give love offerings. Love offerings, that is something on a whole different level of always having a heart to give. You might be at Walmart and having nothing to do with Hidden Treasures, but having a heart to give, and God will say, give, and you'll be able to give. That's love offerings. Nobody really needs to know about that. But we pray that God would speak to the hearts of the members of Hidden Treasures to be faithful in tithes and in mission support. Right now, we don't have 100% of our members giving. Now, that's not because I went ahead and did some investigating and I looked to find out who's giving and who's not giving. I just asked the church secretary. I just said, are 100% of our members of Hidden Treasures giving faithfully to tithes and missions? And the answer is no. I'm praying that we'll get there. That may not be the case now, but I'm believing and trusting God that He will speak to His people. And really, as a member of Hidden Treasures Assembly, that's what you agreed to do. To take heart and invest in what God has called you to be a part of Hidden Treasures. Now, I want to say one huge thank you, because there are people who are not members of Hidden Treasures that are faithfully giving tithes and mission support. I want to say a huge thank you. Thank you. But see, I think of this as we're all in this boat. And some may think they're really not that important. You are important. You are a child of the Most High God. Our missions giving each month is $2,185. We want to see that raised to $2,500. And some are probably thinking, well, how in the world are you going to raise the $2,500 when you know that 100% aren't giving to missions? We can always shoot for a goal, can't we? We can always trust God. We can always say, God, there's more in Camden County, more in the United States, more in this world that hidden treasures can do. So God, I don't want to stay at 2185 and just stay comfortable. God, if you're leading us, then God, you'll make it happen. I mean, because really, if there's 50 families slash individuals, because not every individual has a part of a family, but if there's 50 families that would give $50, commit to give $50 every month, that would be $2,500 right then and there. And this is not an opportunity to get you to give right now because emotions are moving right now, negative or good, but emotions are moving right now. I'm praying that the love of God would flow through you and God would speak to you, Holy Spirit speaking to you, that you would listen to what God is saying. Slide five, Joe. John Bunyan. Now, that's not Paul Bunyan's brother, but John Bunyan was an English writer and Puritan preacher, best remembered as the author of the Christian allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, and he stated this, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." There are days that when I'm praying, I am seeing African people, Asian people, Middle Eastern, European people that don't know Jesus interacting with the missionaries that we support, and whatever comes about that great relationship, we play a part. I think of the Coopers, the missionaries in Africa. He is integral in making sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is on television and on broadcasted on radio throughout many countries in Africa. We get to play a part in that. I get excited about that. I may never know how to speak Swahili, but I am supporting a missionary that's going to send the gospel of Jesus Christ in Swahili in their native tongue, and people will come to know Jesus Christ. That excites me because I think of who I am and I'm like, God, you're so awesome. You want me to be a part of this. My next point, last point, slide six. You can't allow your circumstances to stand in the way of your faithfulness to God. And there will always be excuses and circumstances to stand in the way. Let me ask you, will you allow any circumstance to stand in the way of your faithfulness of walking and following after Jesus? Hopefully not. Don't let it stand in the way of your faithful being faithful to God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. It's a story about, and it's titled The Widow of Zarephath. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but verse 8, it says, "The Lord said to Elijah, 'Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you.' So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, 'Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?' And she was going to get it, and he called to her, 'Hey, bring me a bite of bread too.' But she said, 'I swear by the Lord your God.'" Now listen, by the Lord your God. She wasn't connecting Elijah's God with her. "I swear to you by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug." Looks like she's in a really big circumstance. Difficult time right now. "I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." Because she's got nothing else. That's it. There's a famine going on. Verse 13, "But Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son.'" I'm thinking, wonder what she's thinking. "You want me to put you before my son? You know, hit the road, Jack." No, that's not what she thought. That's not what she did. Verse 14, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will be always, everyone say always. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grew again. They weren't living in Florida or Georgia, Southeast Georgia, where it rains every other day or whatever. No, no. There was a famine going on and there was no rain. But he said that the Lord said, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Now, if you don't know the story, I challenge you, read chapter 17. It's a very good story, but I have a quick question to ask you. Does anyone know the story? And if you know the story, does anyone know who God used to feed Elijah before this widow fed him? Anybody know? Yes, that was a trick question. Some of you are thinking, who? It's what? Ravens. God used birds to feed Elijah. And then God said, go to this town, go find this widow woman and have her. You know, God didn't need this widow woman to feed. If God is using ravens to feed Elijah, he didn't need to use this woman. But you know, it's God's desire to use you. It's God's desire to use you, to use us for his glory, to impact the lives of others. I found that very, just amazing. He doesn't need us to spread the gospel and support missionaries. God can do this himself. He can write his truth and the plan of salvation on the side of every mountain in Asia, in the Middle East, on every wall, wherever there isn't a missionary. He can do that. But you know what? He doesn't want to. He uses you. He uses me. He uses our missionaries. His desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance, and use those who have repented to spread his truth and message of love. Now, again, I mentioned, read the whole chapter 17. There's a spoiler alert, but bad things happen to this woman and her son, but God intervenes. So I just challenge you to read chapter 17. You know, if just for a moment, if we would allow this truth to sink into our spirit, the holy God, our creator of all that is seen and unseen, he desires for you and for me to take responsibility, take ownership of missions. See, because missions is not just in Asia. Missions is on the street where you live. Missions is where you shop. Missions is where you work. Missions is where you go to school. That is where missions is. Where people that don't know Jesus Christ, will you take the responsibility and go? Will you take the response? Will you take ownership and not just stay in the giving mode, but say, God, will you train me and teach me how to get in support in a support mode? Again, it is good to have a heart to give. But can I ask you and challenge you? Don't just stay in that realm and get comfortable in just giving. That whenever you see a need, oh, yeah, here's $5, because you don't want to give any more of your time. Can I challenge you to say, God, would you speak to me? Am I doing this right? Can I support missions? Can I support this person? Can I support that need? You see, a perfect God with a perfect message of love is entrusting us, imperfect people who always get things wrong and forget things and miss appointments and open our mouths when they should be closed and our thoughts just go there when they shouldn't. He wants to use imperfect people with his perfect message to share that truth to people who desperately need to hear it. You see, that's the importance of giving and supporting what's true and dear to the heart of God. Venture out, learn more of God's compassion to support those in need. It is his desire and the need for the lost to know Jesus. He plans to continue to provide for us as he was planning to continue to provide for that widow woman. All she needed to do was to put God's instruction first and to feed Elijah. That's all she had to do. And then every time she went to that bowl or that container, there was oil. Every time she went to that jug, there was oil. Why? Because God had provided. Why? Because she took to heart what God wanted her to do. This is important for us. And the reason why we mention it every 6 months is, you know what? Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes things just get a little blurry of what's important. And we need a little reminder. And so I ask you to just begin to pray, God, am I giving and are you pleased with my giving? God, am I supporting and are you pleased with my supporting? Show me where I can change. Show me where I can do better. Show me, God, how I can venture out and begin to sacrifice self and stretch my faith. Teach me and show me. So my last question is this. So who is worthy to give all that we have and worthy of our sacrifice in the process? To our holy, holy God. To the only holy God. May we seek the Lord about our giving to Him. May we seek the Lord the importance of supporting missions. Because if there is a need, God wants us to fill it. If there is a way that we can support, God wants us to do it. So today, if there's a need for repentance, come to the altar and repent. Don't fight it. Don't fight the questions that are rolling through your mind. Don't fight what God is leading you to do. If you need to come and repent, say, God, forgive me. I have had a firm hand and grasp of my bank account and my wallet, and I've become stingy. And Holy Spirit, you've showed me this. God, forgive me. I want to learn what it means to be a cheerful giver.